Truth News Network. From Shreveport to Kuala Lumpur, Washington, D.C. to Moscow, finding the truth. TNN, the Truth News Network. And Dan Newman.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Truth News Network this evening. Before I go anywhere, let me step aside for just a second. You heard the introduction. We do have a bunch of subscribers who live in Kuala Lumpur. Have you ever been there? Do you know where it is? Let me tell you. Kuala Lumpur is the capital of Malaysia. It's as big, or even a little bit bigger than New York City. I've been there and stayed at the most amazing hotel, the Majestic Hotel. And let me tell you, everything there is wonderful. Well, not everything, but almost everything is wonderful, especially the food. It's so good. If you're reading, look at that picture. I posted a picture of three shrimp on a plate at the Majestic Hotel. They have a luncheon buffet that has, I don't know how many food items on it, almost uncountable. Those three shrimp completely fill up one plate of food. So if you ever get a chance, try Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And if you ever go to Kuala Lumpur, KL, as everybody over there in Malaysia calls it. If you go to KL, go, even if you don't stay there, to the Majestic Hotel and have lunch or dinner. Well, let's get right to the serious stuff here today. A one-state solution. Or is it two? You know, for most of my life, I've listened in on the conflict between the Palestinians and the Jews. I specifically entered the world of international politics as a direct result of that 1967 war between the two. Beginning then, and still to this day, I watch and listen to the ongoing feud between Israel and the Palestinians over a piece of land, praying we don't ever have another war. How could any country, even Israel, take land from another country, hold it onto it, settle it, with no regard for its rightful and native people? That's the narrative most often used in discussions about these ongoing conflicts. That is from the Palestinian perspective. Of course, the Israeli version sounds a whole lot different. There are infrequent but deadly skirmishes between the two, and much political rhetoric that is really just arguing with everybody claiming their land and their rights, and always at the expense of the other. So what's the truth about it? Who owns what? Who should own what? What is the history of all this? How can it be resolved, if it even can be resolved? When in doubt, it's always good to get the facts, and that's just what we've done for you at Truth News Network. So let's start with the nation of Palestine. There is no nation of Palestine. In fact, there never has been. So where did all this uproar begin and over what? Let's examine the modern history of the two entities. The United Nations Partition Plan for Palestine in 1947 proposed to divide the geographical region of Palestine into two independent countries, one with a Jewish majority and one with an Arab majority. The leadership of the Jews in the region accepted the plan. The leadership of the Arabs didn't and never have. In 1948, the leader of the Jews, David Ben-Gurion, declared an independent Jewish community named Israel, a country of Israel, according to this plan. The local Arabs, assisted by armies of the neighboring Arab countries, attacked this state, beginning a war called the War of Independence in Israel. Israel won that war in the sense that it did not succumb and kept its sovereignty within borders that were larger than what the 1947 UN plan allotted it. A large part of the vitriol between the two comes from the United Nations allotment of 1947. I too wonder, how does the UN have the power to determine any nation or nation's borders? As a matter of fact, and as a matter of international law, they don't. When a ceasefire was reached, the northern part of the lands that, according to the UN plan, were supposed to become an Arab state, Western Galilee, became Israeli territory, and the Arabs who lived there received Israeli citizenship. The central part, known as Judea and Samaria on the West Bank, became part of the Kingdom of Jordan, and the southern part, known as the Gaza Strip, became part of Egypt. In the process, many Arabs left their homes and became known as the Palestinian refugees. For the next 19 years, Israel kept developing and absorbed many Jewish refugees from Arab countries. The idea of an Arab state in Palestine was somewhat forgotten, but Israel kept having conflicts with neighboring Arab countries. And the climax of this was the 1967 Six-Day War. That's when I started following what was going on there. In the short but intense war, the Israeli army occupied all of the West Bank and Gaza. In 1948, these territories were supposed to become an Arab state. But in practice, they were administered by Jordan and Egypt, and nobody complained much. After Israel took over, the idea of a Palestinian state was revived and pushed intensely, and has been ever since. In 1988, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, declared an independent state of Palestine. It did not specify borders, but it did specify that it is an Arab state. This declaration was symbolic because this organization worked in Tunisia and had no effective presence in the land of Palestine. In 1993, Israel signed the Oslo Accords with this organization, the PLO, establishing the Palestinian National Authority, effectively giving the PLO partial sovereignty in part of the West Bank and Gaza. In Israel, it is frequently called autonomy or authority. It has its own passport, police, and government. Some countries recognize it as an independent state and call it the State of Palestine. But this recognition is not universal. As of 2019, the conflict with Israel continues because the authority, as well as other Palestinian organizations such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad, have significant demands, most notably sovereignty over more land, sovereignty in the city of Jerusalem, or at least part of it, giving Palestinian refugees the right to return to their homes, and stopping the enhancement of the Jewish settlements in the West Bank, or destroying them completely. Israel declared several times that it is willing to discuss these things, but it demands from all Palestinian organizations to stop all violent acts against Israel. And just as an aside here, that ain't going to happen, because all of them, Hamas, the Islamic State, or ISIS as you know it, and also all of Iran, they don't even recognize Israel as a nation. So what's all the hubbub about anyway? Well, Palestinians adamantly claim that Israel stole Palestinian land. What do the Israelis say? Israel did not steal Palestinian land. It's not Palestinians' land, and it's never been their land. This land was given to the Jewish people, as stated in the Bible, by the Creator. Despite 27 invasions of Judea and Samaria, called the West Bank, conquest by many, forced conversions, exiles, massive oppression, generations of diaspora, and cowardly acquiescence by a group of fifth-column Jews themselves, Jews have not only survived in what's known in Hebrew as Eretz Yisrael, or Israel, but they've taken a desert wasteland and turned it into a powerful little democracy, the envy of the world. Now that cannot be denied. To her detractors, of whom there are many worldwide, the mantra remains the same ad nauseum. Israel is complicit in doing this. She omitted doing that. We respect Judaism, but are against Zionism. Attempting to mask anti-Semitism as anti-Zionism, Israel's enemies continually make accusations in such numbers that much of it sticks. To cite just a few, and you hear this stuff, I've heard it too. Here's a myth. Israel discriminates against its Arab citizens. The facts show otherwise. Israel is one of the most open societies on earth. Out of a population of 6.7 million, 1.1 million are Muslims, 130,000 are Christians, and about 100,000 are Druze. All have equal voting rights. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, or Druze. You all have equal voting rights. Israel is one of a very few places where Arab women have the right to vote, and Arabs currently hold 14 seats in the Knesset. Following a five-year trial and a landmark decision for women's rights, an Arab judge, Salim Jubran, sentenced the former president of Israel, Moshe Katsav, to 7 years in prison for rape. In what Muslim country do Jews have those kind of rights? I don't know of any. How many seats do Jews hold in the Saudi government or Jordan's? Can anyone recall a Jewish judge sentencing a prominent Arab in Egypt? More to the point, has anyone heard of a Jewish judge in Egypt? Here's another myth. The Palestinian Authority protects Jewish holy sites. If so, one important element blocking a sincere peace would be eliminated. But the facts, well, they speak otherwise. In the years between 1996 and 2000, just those 5 years, In September of 96, Palestinian rioters destroyed a synagogue at Joseph's Tomb in Nablus. Rachel's Tomb near Bethlehem has been repeatedly attacked since 1996. In October of 2000, Joseph's Tomb was torched after the Israeli garrison guarding it was temporarily withdrawn. It was subsequently rebuilt as a mosque. In October of 2000, the ancient synagogue in Jericho was destroyed by arson, and a second historic synagogue was damaged. In textbooks, speeches, and in daily life, the Palestinians and their supporters deny any Jewish connection at all to these ancient landmarks. This all occurs under nominal Israeli control of these areas. Why the continuous uproar between Israel and the Palestinians that frequently break out in skirmishes, rockets being fired, deaths in both groups as a result? I've got your answers. And we'll finish up the history and tell you how and where this all began and where we stand today. That's just ahead at Truth News Network. Stay put.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN, the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always. May you always
the tenacious.
May you always do for others.
The ones who push forward
do for you.
And give back.
To the stars and climb on every rung. May you stay.
Long live the greater good.
May you stay.
The helping hand. Those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home?
Wee! Wee, wee, wee! Wee!
Max.
Wee, wee, wee!
Maxwell!
Yeah?
You're home.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mrs. A.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Taking the time to speak the truth, no matter the cost. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.
We've been looking closely at the Palestinian-Israeli conflict that's been ongoing for decades and decades, actually a couple of generations. So what's it all about? The Jews are building settlements on Palestinian land. That's the headline when you hear about these skirmishes that happen again and again. The issue here that started and perpetuates the animus between the two is there is no Palestinian land. We did extensive research and found no historical evidence of there ever being a Palestinian country that has national borders. If there were, when would it have been founded? And by whom? What would its borders have been? And what about the name of its capital? What would its major cities have been? What would have constituted the basis of its economy? What form of government would it have lived under? Was Palestine ever recognized as an entity by another country? By whom? What was the language of the country called Palestine? What was Palestine's religion? What was the name of its currency? Since there is no such country today, what caused her demise? These questions were posed by a Japanese writer, Yoshiko Sagamori. Only the most adherent of the Palestinian narrative could even attempt to answer her questions shared above. Pose these same questions regarding Israel and the Jewish connection to this land. Each can be answered historically. So, here's the history. At no time in history has there ever been a nation called Palestine. During the Ottoman Empire, which lasted from 1299 to 1922, the land dubbed by the Romans as Palestine was controlled by the Turks. There was never an outcry for a Palestinian state then. During the illegal annexation of Judea and Samaria by the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan subsequent to the 1949 armistice and prior to 67, there was never talk of occupied territory or a Palestinian state. Why did the dynamic change subsequent to Israel's victory in the Six-Day War, a conflict, incidentally, that was initiated by the Palestinians? Search as you will throughout the annals of history, Israel is the only nation victorious in war on numerous occasions and then expected by the vanquished and the world at large to sue for peace, to cede land she reclaimed that was historically hers to begin with. The Jewish people were driven out of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria by the Babylonians. They returned to their homeland and rebuilt the Second Temple, only to have it burned again, this time by Romans, and to be once again exiled from their land. Despite 27 invasions and conquests subsequent to the grand monarchy of Kings David and Solomon, Jews have always had a contiguous connection to this land. If not the land of Israel, where are the Jews from? Are they from Poland, the Ukraine, or Russia? Perusing world history, it seems that the Jewish people have a legitimate claim, more so than any other, to their historic homeland, and certainly more than the Palestinian Arabs do. But it is obvious that Palestinians do not agree with that statement. I get that. We all get that. We understand. They have fought to the death in the past to show that disagreement. And unless somehow a mutual agreement is reached, they certainly will fight and die again. So, let's look at that two-state solution. You hear that mentioned all the time. The two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict envisions an independent state of Palestine alongside the state of Israel, west of the Jordan River. The boundary between the two states is still subject to dispute and negotiation, with Palestinian and Arab leadership insisting on the 1967 borders, which is not accepted by Israel. I know you're not surprised. The territory of the former Mandate Palestine, including Jerusalem, would continue to be part of Israel. In 1974, a UN resolution on the peaceful settlement of the question of Palestine called for two states, Israel and Palestine, side by side, within secure and recognized borders, together with a just resolution of the refugee question in conformity with UN Resolution No. 194. The borders of the state of Palestine would be based on the pre-1967 borders. The latest resolution in November of 2013 was passed 165-6 with 6 abstentions, with Israel and the U.S. voting against. The Palestinian leadership has embraced the concept since the 1982 Arab summit in Fez, Morocco. Israel views moves by Palestinian leaders to obtain international recognition of a state of Palestine as being unilateral action by the Palestinians and inconsistent with the negotiated two-state solution. So let's pull this all together. Why are we at Truth News Network making such a big deal out of the continuing conflict between these two peoples? Simple. It seems that the conflict is escalating again. The recent large number of rockets fired into Israel by Palestinians, or maybe from terrorist groups that were hiding among the Palestinians, may be a message that they are about to mount a push to take territory from Israel. Hamas and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, recently labeled as a terrorist organization by the U.S., both have strongholds among the Palestinians. Most people know the hatred held by these and other terrorist operations for Israel and the Jewish people. Further escalating U.S. conversation about the issues between Palestinians and Israelis are the very vocal freshman congressional members who are Muslim and who do very vocally back the Palestinians in this conflict with Israel. Somali-born Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, and Palestinian-American Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, both have since being elected been embroiled in several serious debates for remarks they have made that are very pointed reminders that they do not support Israel and both vehemently oppose a two-state solution. They want Palestine to control it all. There are many comments, primarily from national talk show interviews, seem to many to be outward anti-Semitism. Regardless of the validity of that, it is obvious of their support for the Palestinian people in this conversation. And it's keeping it on the front page of every newspaper and every television news show throughout the United States and a bunch of them in Europe and the Middle East. So what will happen regarding the possible resolution? Conventional wisdom says Israel and the Palestinians should work out a mutually acceptable solution. That would be wonderful for everyone else in the world, for sure. but it is unlikely to happen, sadly. Both peoples have repeatedly marked their point in the sand, and they both dug in. Both refuse to budge. Sadly, the losers in that political war of words has been and will continue to be the Palestinian people and Israelis who find themselves in the middle of a political conflict of which they play no part other than just being there. There is no doubt the U.S. has been a long time and devoted ally of Israel, as are almost all democratic countries in the world, backing the Palestinian efforts of the obvious countries who are primarily Muslim. Several Middle East countries known for their terrorist activities have and probably will continue to play less than desirable roles in this conflict that seems to just keep going. And chief among those is the nation of Iran. If it comes down to another armed conflict, the sense is that Israel, sporting the most powerful military in that region of the world, would unleash its might and power against the Palestinians. Their commitment seems to be whatever it takes. The West shudders at the thought because, almost certainly if that happens, surrounding countries who are pro-Palestinian militant entities will certainly unite in an all-out effort to forcefully take, if not all of Israel, the portion that has been claimed by the Palestinians. I hope we don't get there. Hope we don't see that conflict. I have no idea what countries in the region have in military assets, but I'm certain Israel has more, and I'm certain of this too. Israel has nukes, and lots of them. And that's a scary thought. Maybe that conflict between the two has already been named. Before I give you the name, I'm hoping that it isn't correct. The conflict that comes to mind is the last battle on Earth, better known as Armageddon. Hey, you got to agree, today's story was a little bit different. Historical. And it's absolutely something every American needs to know about. We need to hear both sides of the story and get the history. At some point, we're going to have to make decisions. And we always want you at Truth News Network to be armed with facts, give you both sides, and let you make your own determination and come up with your own answer, rather than hearing or seeing it through a lens that's got a filter on it with some political perspective. I don't have one. I am a Christian, and I do believe Israelis are God's chosen people. I believe they're descendants of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In that regard, I just don't want there to be any war. War doesn't help anybody. And very seldom does anybody come out a winner. Thanks for being here today. We're having a good week. Make sure you step back into the picture here tomorrow. Things are certainly heating up in Washington, D.C. Who's going to go to jail? Everybody's drawing straws. Somebody's going to get in big trouble as all of the investigations now on the other side are beginning, and we're going to get the results as they come. And as I told you yesterday, they're very, very close to being revealed. Have a great day, and thank you again for joining us here at Truth News Network. We'll see you soon. So long, everybody.
Read all about it. Hear the truth. TNN, the Truth News Network.